This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at HowieCarShow.com/Thor. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
I might point out, when I went to Dearborn driving that, was up there. I don't know, man.
What the hell are you talking about? Yeah?
I thought maybe there's a moral.
No, there ain't no moral. I just like that story.
He's got cognitive issues. He's not fit to be our head of state or our commander in chief.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios,
the single most respected voice in the pandemic. It's Dr. Anthony Fauci.
The man who's become known as America's doctor.
The nation's top infectious disease expert, Anthony Fauci.
You are seen to many as a superhero.
Dr. Anthony Fauci, American hero and New York Yankee fan.
Who among you is brave enough to tame this slobbering horde?
Do you miss me yet?
You're fired. Go.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
I don't know if I can stand that slobber fest for Anthony Fauci three more times this afternoon before the show's over. Where the hell did that come from? He's fading in the polls almost as fast as Brandon is, and they're still promoting him. Oh, he's so wonderful. 844-500-4242. That is the toll free number of the Howie Carr Show, if you would like to join us here this afternoon, every weekday afternoon. There was a lot of slobbering going on here. Some of the slobbering was with Charlie Parker last night at the State of the State address. We'll get to that, too. And he's talking about the good old days. You know what? We were just riding high. We were riding high in April. Shot down in May by COVID. And he could have been a contender instead of what he is, which is a bum. A bum. 844-500-4242. 781 says the Waltham Market Basket and MB Spirits. That's my go-to spot when I'm back in Boston. It's like a zoo. Milk and bread are flying off the shelves. Corona and Jack Daniels are also flying off the shelves. 12 to 24 inches of snow. I was with you till you said 12 to 24 inches. Don't you mean 12 to 24 feet? 12 to 24 yards?
Oh, it could be the end of the world. There it is. The bomb slike cyclone.
You know, I consider me a traditionalist, but what was wrong with saying a nor'easter is coming? I mean, a nor'easter has served the region since the 18th century. Why did we?
Snowmageddon or bomb cyclones or tornadoes or hurricanes or ice storms or natural gas explosions or forest fires.
Don't forget the giant puddles of last summer. How soon he forgets when he was warning us against the specter, the menace, the threat of giant puddles. Please avoid the giant puddles. There could be a polar bear lurking in there. There could be a giant white shark. By the way, Taylor, did you see the headline today in People magazine
I can already tell you no, I did not.
No, you did not?
People magazine? Probably not.
Well, I mean this was a shark story, Taylor. This was big news. I'm looking at it right. I'm looking for it right now. It's amazing what's happened with sharks. Apparently the shark attacks increased again last year.
Whoa. These are shark encounters, sir.
Oh, excuse me. You
How
are
dare
the,
you?
Well, shark encounters increased. And do you know why they increased, Taylor?
COVID-19, global warming,
yes,
Donald
no,
Trump.
No, you got it. You got it on the first one.
Really?
It had to be COVID-19 has caused an increase. And I said,
the effects, now hunger
now
and
that's
sharks?
I said, no, that's really going to be hard. Here it is. I got the story. That's going to be hard even for the panic porn brigade, you know, the apocalypse beat. Shark attacks increased in 2021, and researchers say the pandemic is likely the cause. So I said, I gotta read this. But here's what shark bites dropped dramatically in 2020 due to the pandemic. This past year was much more typical, with average bites from an assortment of species and fatalities from white sharks, bull sharks, and tiger sharks. So in other words, it just went down in 2020, and then the pandemic eased up. The spike in 20 and 21 is almost certainly because of the expanding numbers of white sharks. Are they white supremacists? Are they white nationalists? Where were the white sharks on January 6th? Has the FBI been infiltrating them like they did with the Gretchen Whitmer kidnapping plot?
What are their Lego buying habits?
Have any of the FBI agents who infiltrated the white sharks ever brought their wives to a wife-swapping party in Kalamazoo, Michigan? Which have been increasing in various localities, likely in response to a boom in the seal populations they feed on. Most shark attacks in the U.S. occurred in Florida, which accounted for 28 non-fatal bites. That state was followed by Hawaii, which recorded 6 attacks, and California with 3. So that's your shark update here. 844-500-4242. We might as well play a couple of Biden cuts. We got a busy day here. We got some great guests. We have Dean Martin's daughter is going to be with us, and we also have Peter Schweitzer's got a new book out about the Chinese influence. And guess what the star crime family is? I guess you know that by now. We're going to get back to talking about DJ Ferguson. Yeah, but we need to get to. Today, he's still pushing the Build Back Better plan. You know, they're still ripping Manchin and Sinema, as if attacking someone is going to make it more likely for that they're going to change their minds after all this time. But obviously, they're not. So he brings in a bunch of these CEOs, including Mary Barra, who was the head of GM, and GM is just. You know, apparently they're celebrating the fact that they've been dethroned after 70 years or 80 years. 80 years, I think. Maybe not. No, 90 years, I think. Since 1930, GM had been the number one producer of cars sold in the United States until this year. Now it's Toyota. She was there. And let's play the cut. Cut seven here. This is Joe Biden after his meeting with the CEOs and talking about GM and cars. Cut seven.
And that Hummer, before I talked about Dearborn and the F-150, but that Hummer, my Lord, you guys, have you seen this vehicle? It weighs 3 times what my Corvette weighs. When it was brand new, the Corvette was 0 to 60 in 5.2 seconds. This is about 4.1.
Actually, models up to 0 to 3 seconds. Or 0 to 60 in 3 seconds, yeah.
Okay, I'm looking for a job, Mary.
Does he have a Corvette, or does he have a Model A or a Stanley Steamer?
You don't remember his Hunter Green 67 Corvette?
No, I do. I do remember. I do. It's next to his first automobile, a Pierce Arrow, that his father had. Let's have him going on about Corvettes.
Mary, I'm always talking about Corvettes. I don't want to make Ford or anybody else upset. But I might point out, when I went to Dearborn driving that. It was up there. I don't know, man. I think the press thought I was crazy. I enjoyed it so much going up and your new EV factory in.
Yikes. What year is it, Joe? Cut one.
If we're designing our education system today, and I think we've talked with some of you about this before, I doubt whether anyone would think that 12 years is enough in the 21st, second half of the 21st, second quarter of the 21st century.
Something like that. Second half, second quarter. And of course, we've laughed about this before, but there are a few words that he never, ever gets right. Cut two.
You know, it also increases exponentially the prospect of...
There it is. Exponentially. 617, Joe is hitting the Thunderbird again. Get it? Thunderbird, a different... It's a Ford sports vehicle and a fortified wine. Get it? Joe's not a Thunderbird drinker. It just sounds like a Thunderbird drinker. 844-500-4242. Cut one more cut here before we go to the break. Cut three.
A real breakthrough began last year when Jim Farley of Ford, GM and Ford.
What the heck is he talking about? All right. 844-500-4242.
So, you know, I don't know what the hell's going on here.
No kidding. No kidding. All right. We'll take some calls when we come back. To all my listeners with an IRA or 401k, this is an urgent warning. Our federal debt has now ballooned to almost $30 trillion. Whatever Washington Democrats do this year may mean yet more inflation. If you have $50,000 or more in your retirement savings, your money could be at risk. You need to hedge those bets. You need to diversify. You can't have all your retirement eggs in the stock market basket. I'm holding in my hand a story here from the second front page of the Wall Street Journal today. Investors pile into gold for safety. One asset holding up through early 2022 market turmoil, gold. Rising geopolitical tensions, I'm reading now from the Wall Street Journal, in Europe and a slide in major U.S. stock indexes have sent investors rushing into the haven metal. Demand for gold climbed after tensions between Russia and Ukraine escalated last week. Investors often flock to gold during geopolitical turbulence. So now is the time for you to call Gold Co. and find out about precious metals, the historic defense against disastrous economic and political policies, as the Wall Street Journal was just saying. Learn how you can protect your life savings with physical gold and silver. Visit goldco.com/Howie Carr to receive your Biden inflation report. goldco.com/Howie Carr and the IRA experts at Gold Co. will give you up to $10,000 in free silver when you open a qualifying account. That's why Gold Co. is the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Go to goldco.com/Howie Carr. The experts at Gold Co. have helped thousands of Americans own gold and silver in their retirement savings to protect against inflation and tax hikes. They helped me, and now they can help you, too. That's goldco.com/Howie Carr. I'm Howie Carr.
Keep it here. The captain will be back after this. He's always ready with kind words of advice for the up-and-comers in the biz.
I told you this newspaper racket was a dog's life, fellow. Now maybe you believe me. Take these pictures to the Globe and get you $200.
The Howie Carr Show is back.
And I might add, you know, one of the reasons for inflation being high as it is, one-third of the reason that inflation is up is the cost of vehicles. And the reason the cost of vehicles is up, they don't have the component parts, meaning significantly the semiconductors.
Well, does that let you off the hook? I don't think so. Someone says Joe sounds drunk. He always sounds drunk, increasingly so. But he's not drunk because he doesn't drink. He sounds like, someone else says he sounds like Pat Leahy. I don't know about Pat Leahy, but Pat Leahy is always slurring his words, too. The thing is, Pat Leahy is retiring. Dementia Joe says he's going to run for re-election. This new year, let HelloFresh deliver fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and recipes to your door. Get 16 free meals plus 3 gifts with code Howie16 at HelloFresh.com/Howie16. Taylor, what's the poll question? What is the results thus far?
Should unvaccinated DJ Ferguson be able to get a heart transplant?
That's the guy we were talking about yesterday. He's 31 years old, and he has a heart condition. They say the Brigham and Women's says they're not going to give him, in Boston, says they're not going to give him a heart transplant unless he gets a vaccination. And he's worried that the vaccination could kill him before he even gets into the heart transplant. Yes, he should get a vaccine. He should get the heart transplant regardless of his vaccination status.
99% say yes.
Yeah, you should see these terrible things that these nurses have been saying. Turtle Boy has been putting it on his blog. These terrible things these women are saying. Heart transplants aren't for dummies. And then the nurse misspells dummies. DUMMY apostrophe S. Does that make you a dummy that you can't spell dummies? Dummy? John, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, John.
Hey, that moron just ruined a lifelong love affair with Corvettes with me. He don't know the difference between a Corvair and a Corvette.
He does own a Corvette, though. He does, it might be tough for him at this point. You're right to tell the difference between a Corvair and a Corvette, but he does own one.
Well, I got 2 of them, but they're up for sale cheap now. If he's got one, I don't want to have anything to do with them.
You know, a Corvair, you know, they had a lot of problems with accidents. It's, you know, if you wanted to compare his political career to a GM product or a Chevrolet product, I think you'd be more likely to compare it to a Corvair than a Corvette, wouldn't you?
I'd be more apt to compare it to a train wreck. That's just my opinion.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it.
Or a Pinto that's stuck in reverse.
Well, I had a lot of bad cars in my life. Oh, God. The Gremlin was pretty bad, too. There are a lot of bad cars. The Corvair, though, I think wasn't the Corvair the unsafe at any speed? I mean, that was one of the many cars of the 60s and 70s made in the U.S. that was just a total death trap if you got hit. Alex, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Alex.
Howie, I think we're going to solve a mystery this year of... I think we're finally going to figure out who made the cut of the company's institutions on Biden's note that he passed to Putin for the no cyber attack list.
You think so?
Yeah, I think we're finally going to figure out who's on the...
I'd forgotten about that. I'd forgotten about that, Alex. What was the speculation, what companies were on it, like Google, Amazon, all the big Democrat donors from Silicon Valley?
Well, if they have, you know, some convenient problems this year, then I just say, you know, 2 + 2. But on a side note, I don't think of Joe as a Corvette. Do you remember the Chevy Chevette? I think that's more along Joe's lines these days.
I think I do remember the Chevy Chevette. I think my mother had one of those for a while in the 60s. I think, if it's the same car I'm thinking of, I can't remember exactly. By the way, speaking of Silicon Valley, YouTube has now permanently banned Dan Bongino for COVID, quote unquote, COVID misinformation. He should have gotten out like we did, Taylor. You know, we're on Rumble now, and you know, because we were headed towards we were on double secret probation from YouTube, and we were going to be banned, so we beat him to the punch. We said to YouTube, "You can't fire us. We quit." Peter, quickly, very quickly, Peter.
Hey, how you doing? I was just saying that I think that they should seriously put in the 25th Amendment on Joe Biden. He's incoherent, and the press is doing such a terrible job when they go to these press conferences. They're clowns. They don't ask him anything. They don't criticize him like they did Trump. It's terrible.
Their job is to be cheerleaders. You know, they're like, it's like a high school. You know, they give them the pom poms and they practice dancing. Give me a B. Give me an I. Give me a D, E, N. What's that spell? Red China. I'm Howie Carr.
live from the Matthews Brothers studio.
Ladies and gentlemen, the star of our show, direct from the bar, Dean Martin.
Well, it's great to be joined here by Dean Martin's daughter, Dina Martin. And she's joining us. She has a show on WABC, the AM station, every Sunday night. She has a book out about her father. It was published a while back. Memories are made of this. Dean Martin through his daughter's eyes. She's a recording artist in her own right. Dina Martin, it's really great to have you here this afternoon. And let me just ask you, first of all, I haven't seen it. I wanted to see it, but I don't have TCM on my cable package. Dean Martin special, my producer Taylor, who's a big, even bigger Dean Martin fan than I am, he got it for me, so I'm going to watch it tonight. Yeah, I assume you're in King of Cool, Dean.
Yes. Well, you know what? It's called Dean Martin, King of Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's the documentary, and it's unbelievable. And we worked on it for 6.5 years.
Wow.
So it's really good, and I'm glad that Taylor liked it. I mean, it's really amazing, and it's a must-see, because it just is, standing ovations when people watch it. And when I watched it in the theater in New York, the people were crying next to me or laughing so hard, because it's really, really good. And I say, if it comes into your Turner Classic Movie playlist, definitely see it. It's a must see.
I really enjoyed the angle with it, Dina, the Rosebud kind of angle to it, figuring out what really drove Dean, because he was a tough guy to figure out.
Yes, he was, but thank heavens my grandmother taught me how to make pasta vajoule, because that was the connection for me and for my dad, which is a great story, and that's all in my book too. But it's how we put it together. It was it's really, really a good documentary, as you know.
And I've written a couple of books about the Kennedys. I'm from Massachusetts, so I've studied and read everything about the Rat Pack and the Sands and Jack Kennedy visiting, and that's where he met one of his girlfriends. But your father was the one member of the Rat Pack who was not totally mesmerized by Jack Kennedy. Is that an accurate description of it?
That's a very accurate description. That's good. He loved it. He got out. My dad got out there, and he would perform, and that he was part of all of that, the Rat Pack, as you said. And they went on. They did campaigning, for Kennedy, and they kind of changed their name to the Jack Pack when they would go and do the shows and raise lots of money. But my dad wasn't impressed with hardly anybody. You know what I mean? Your dad was just down to earth, and he grew up in Steubenville, Ohio, and he went to New York, and he sang, and he worked in all the nightclubs where a lot of guys were there, with the, in La Familia, and so he knew all the people, he knew all the players, and Dad just wanted to get out there and sing his songs, and then go home and get up early and go play golf.
I heard your father didn't speak English until he was a certain age, right? He grew up speaking Italian,
true.
Right? When did he learn English?
Well, I think he until he started going to school, because my grandparents, Gaetano Crocetti and Angela Barra, they spoke Italian. In fact, my grandfather, we used to call him Pop. He only wanted us to call him Pop because he didn't want people to think he was a grandfather. And so he'd talk like this. And, he's... my father, he could speak beautiful Italian, and then he learned how to speak English, of course.
I've also read over the years that your father, I saw something, a BBC documentary on him last night, and someone was saying, well, they say you're lazy, and he said, how can I be lazy if I've done all this stuff, the recording industry, right. The comic stuff, the movies, et cetera, the roast. But I've also heard people say that he wasn't as focused on the music as say Sinatra was, that he just kind of just flitted from one thing to another. I mean, he was working hard, but do you think he should have put it? Do you think he put in? He was as into the music as say Sinatra was.
I think he was more into the music than Sinatra was. My uncle Frank taught me how to phrase and how to breathe. And here's the thing about my dad. I don't think he ever got the recognition that he deserved. He was a great actor. He was a great singer. He could sing. He could dance. He was a comedian. All of those things. But he made it look so easy. I think people thought that he didn't really put in the work. He put in the work. But he made it look so nice and, you know, and easy and just like it was, you know, here, you know, I'm just going to sing a song. That's who my dad was. He knew exactly what he was doing. And, you know, Frank Sinatra wanted to be Dean Martin. And, you know, that's okay. That's okay.
I thought he wanted to be Jack Kennedy.
well, yeah, that's true. Okay. Either one. But, you know, so the thing is, and it really, I'm still upset to this day that my dad wasn't nominated for Best Supporting Actor for Rio Bravo.
I was just going to mention that. Yeah. Now, I saw that movie when I was about like 5 or 6 years old, and I just remember being mesmerized by the fact that this guy is stumbling around like that in this classic Western, which I knew even then was just an immortal movie for the ages. Yeah, why didn't he get nominated for that?
He didn't, and so, you know, but you know what, here's the thing about my dad. He was never one to call his publicist. He wouldn't call and say, okay, get me this or do that. Warren Cowan was his PR guy, and he said that your dad never called me. He called me twice. He said once when your dad got a hole-in-one, he wanted me to put that in the papers, playing golf, and then once, about Billy Wilder, because he called, actors idiots. And so those are the only two times. And so I think, all right, because he didn't blow his own horn. He didn't care about that. He just wanted to do his work. He was committed to what he was doing, but he made it look so easy. And, you know, I think the people now who are nominated for all of these things, they've got the PR people and their agents and everybody out there pushing for them. Dad never, did things like that.
And speaking of that recognition, yeah. Dina, that kind of goes along with Rio Bravo. After that, he came out with, around that time, Tex Martin Rides Again, that album. And he really stuck with the country and Western theme for many years. In fact, one of his last albums was the Nashville Sessions. And
right.
He never really received recognition in that world either, did he?
No, he didn't. And, you know, I'm going to keep trying for him. I mean, no, people know how fantastic he was, but I think they just took it for granted because he did so many things. You know, when you think about it, it was the nightclubs and it was the recordings and his TV show, top, you know, for 10 years. He was just magnificent, and he just knew how to organize his time, and, you know, so that he could get up in the morning, as I say, and go play golf. And then that would relax him, and that was his way of, you know, releasing things. He wanted to be home at night, you know, and watch a Western.
How about the Matt Helm movies? I mean, I was just thinking about those. I mean, those were kind of goofy, but, I mean, those were immensely successful, too, weren't they?
They were very successful because he was so adorable. He was so cute. And I believe, you know, he would go upstairs to, you know, read his script, and he would tear out every page that he wasn't on. Okay, and so then, you know, he just had his script, and it would, you know, it was like a lot of double takes, you know, and then he would run, and, you know, so, you know, because that was Matt Helm. So that wasn't, you know, something that was really tough for him to do. It was just fun. I went down to the studio to see him. But when he did Some Came Running, and, you know, The Young Lions, and Rio Bravo, and those movies that he did, Ada, he was quite remarkable. But he worked at it. He just didn't let people know that he was working at it.
I know he, made up at the end with Jerry Lewis, and you did some work with Jerry Lewis after he passed. Yeah. But was he, when you were a kid, was he kind of competitive with Jerry Lewis, like saying, I carried us all these years, and he's making these stupid movies, and he's making The Nutty Professor, and I'm making Rio Bravo. Was there any of that kind of competition between those two guys?
No, you know what, for my dad, you know, that was then. He was, you know, they were the greatest comedy team, you know, for 10 years running, and I think probably ever. But when it was over, it was over. My dad had this thing. He was, you know, very Italian, and he never got mad. He didn't yell or anything. But when he'd had enough, when he'd had it up to here, then it's over. I've had it up to here. It's done. So he didn't really think about Jerry then after that. So Jerry was doing his thing, and my dad was doing his. He was nervous the first time he was going to the Sands Hotel to be alone, you know, to be a solo act.
Yeah.
Of course he was nervous. and he was nervous when he was going to make The Young Lions with, good heavens, Marlon Brando and Montgomery Clift. He was nervous about all of that, but he wasn't thinking about Jerry doing his funny movies and things like that. My dad wasn't interested in things like that. He didn't have time. He didn't have time for that.
I read somewhere that he didn't with on those roasts. And again, you were mentioning that those were some of the highest rated shows, I think, on NBC for a decade or more. That
right?
he had a deal where he only had to go in that one day and do it, just, you know, sort of no rehearsal or anything like that.
Yeah, and that was for the whole Dean Martin show, because I remember, and I can't remember exactly the year. It might have been sometime in the 60s. Dad came into a house one night, you know, and I'm sitting there with my mom, and, you know, there's Dad and my six brothers and sisters, and my father says, you know what, NBC wants me to do a TV show. They've asked me to do a TV show. He said, but I don't want to, because, you know, in those days, you were either a movie star or whatever,
right,
but people weren't doing TV. He said, I really don't want to do it. He said, so tomorrow I have a meeting with NBC. I'm going to go in. I'm going to ask for a ridiculous amount of money. I'm going to tell them I do not want to rehearse, and that I only am going to come in on one day a week to shoot the show after I play golf. So he comes home that night and he says, they said okay. You know, and it was like $33 million, the largest contract that, you know, for a TV show. But he went in there, you know, just saying, I don't want to do it. And then he came home and he said, well, I guess I'm going to do it. And so for all those years, it was number one. And he was, how he did it, I'll never know. How he, you know, all the songs, and maybe he was singing with Ella Fitzgerald or the Mills Brothers or, my gosh, Peggy Lee. He was absolutely fantastic. Or
Dina Martin.
With Sid Charisse.
We got to, Sid Charisse, wow. That's a name from the past. Dina Martin, we've got a break, but we really appreciate you being with us, and it's great to talk to you, and I'm looking forward to seeing the documentary about your father
all
tonight,
right.
King of
You'll
Cool.
You'll love it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's Dina Martin, and she is, of course, Dean Martin's daughter. BOGO is back for 1 week only for the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. You've been waiting for it, and now here it is. You've always wondered if the Thunderstorm Air Purifier works, and this is the best time to find out. Officer Mark wrote, quote, what a great product. Just after one day's use, my humble hovel has clean air scent that is so different from air purifiers that we've tried before. I installed it, meaning he plugged it in, into our bedroom, and it is so quiet that it's unnoticeable. My wife and I got a great night's sleep because we could breathe freely without the usual dry desert air feeling that keeps you awake. It's also, look at how small it is if you're watching this on Rumble or other kind of social media. It's just tiny. A lot of these air purifiers are huge, and they make a lot of noise, and you got to empty out the water can. You don't have any of that with the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. Do what Officer Mark did and take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm BOGO offer for this week only. You buy one and you get one free. This is only until this Sunday the 30th. This is only for my listeners, so go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code HOWIEBOGO. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word HOWIEBOGO. Shipping is free. I'm Howie Carr.
Hey, what's the big idea, Pally? Why so crabby?
Screw you, Dino. You squandered your gift.
Squandered my gift? I made 68 albums.
Be a part of the show. Call 844-500-4242. And mind your manners.
People lose teeth talking like that. If you want to hang around, you'll be polite.
The Howie Carr Show will return in a moment. Need a shoulder to cry on?
Do not implore him for compassion. Do not beg him for forgiveness. Do not ask him for mercy.
I'll take it somewhere else, Cupcake. The Emperor of Hate, Howie Carr, is back.
Okay, we have a great Cheap Bastard deal. This is a return Cheap Bastard deal, and it's really popular. They're going to go really fast. This is the Ready Wise 2-week emergency food bundle, just in time for the bomb cyclone / nor'easter, just in time for the supply chain crisis. The two-week bundle includes two 100-serving variety pack buckets and one American Red Cross 72-hour kit. These freeze-dried meals, beverages, and snacks provide the perfect variety, over 2,200 calories per day for 14 days. While supplies last, you can purchase the ReadyWise two-week emergency food bundle. It's $180 value for just $90. We don't have a lot of these, so if you want to get them, you better get on board right now. HowieCarsShow.com. Click on store. And with us now to talk about ReadyWise's two-week emergency food bundle is Brandon Erickson. Brandon, let's go, Brandon. So you must be doing very well with the situation, the lousy weather and the lousy supply chain. The trucker vaccine mandates are going to cause more havoc. It's a good time to buy a 2 week emergency food bundle, isn't it, Brandon?
Howie, it's a great time. I mean, people are wondering where to put money right now. The stock market is all over the place. Do you put money in gold? Crypto doesn't seem to be consistent. How about putting it in food? I don't think that price is going down anytime soon.
No, the food, everybody needs food, and you'll always need food no matter what the economy is doing, no matter what the climate situation is. This is it. So what kind of food have you got in here, Brandon, that people can, you hear freeze-dried, sometimes people pull back a little bit.
No, this is an amazing variety. We've got everything from, brown sugar, multi-grain cereal, crunchy granola, creamy pasta and vegetables, pasta Alfredo, stroganoff, a gluten-free tomato soup that has a gluten-free pasta in there, vanilla pudding, yogurt, banana chips, corn peas, some chocolate milk, and some regular milk. So it's a little bit of everything. All you got to do is add water. Hot water is recommended, but in the event you can't find boiling water or hot water, you can add regular temperature water, and the food will rehydrate in any type of situation and taste good and deliver some nutritional value to you.
So you don't need power to prepare this food. All you need is water.
Just water, yep. And on some of the freeze-dried ingredients like the corns and peas and banana chips, you can eat those right out of the pouch. A lot of people like the freeze-dried crunchy texture. On the meals, there's obviously some sauce and blend that rehydrates with the product, so you want to add water to those, and they'll taste good whether it's hot water or cold water.
And, stuff you get in the grocery store, they have best if served by certain such a date or expiration date, whatever. Is there an expiration date on the ReadyWise two-week emergency food bundle?
Barely. It's a 25-year shelf life, Howie. So this stuff's going to last a long time and provide security for you and your family when you have this. You don't have to worry about eating or replacing this for quite a long time.
Okay, so if you want to get this, again, they're going to go very fast. It's a ReadyWise two-week emergency food bundle, two 100-serving variety pack buckets, and one American Red Cross 72-hour kit. There's 2,200 calories per day for 2 weeks, 14 days, a fortnight. While supplies last, you can purchase the ReadyWise two-week emergency food bundle for just $90. And, these are going to go very fast, Brandon. So what's your website if people want to get one? Get some after the supply is gone on the cheap bastard deal.
Go to ReadyWise.com and use Howie15 as a promo code, and you'll get 15% off anything on our website. If you have questions, you can call 855-95-READY and talk to an associate that will walk you through different options, and they'll make sure that your promo codes apply at checkout as well.
Okay, so it's ReadyWise.com after the cheap bastard deal is over, and just put in code Howie15 and you'll get 15% off. Or you can go to 855-95-READY. Thank you, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon. ReadyWise two-week emergency food bundle. I'm Howie Carr.